All right, Pot of Gold, friends and family, welcome back. I'm Brett. I'm here with Mike. Grant the intern rocking his Stella Blue. I love that there's a race between Hugh and Gerald every time in the chat to be first in there. Shout out to the real ones. Yeah, I guess, member of Stella Blue Coffee and definitely not wearing a Girl Dad hat, which is a little suspicious, but
little
Grant
sauce.
The intern in the building. LSU spring practice. I'm glad Mike said it in the chat because I was completely taken off guard from the beginning of spring practice. And a few days ago, Mike was like, oh, spring starts tomorrow. And I was like, I noticed that an hour ago.
It was the first time I have not had like a countdown and I let it sneak up on me. I'm like, ooh, that felt good. That felt really good.
We didn't anticipate March.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. And March is moving. It's the 7th.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of crazy, but
it's already almost my birthday.
It is almost the 11th.
No one cares about that. No one.
Amber is the color. 311 birthday.
Yeah.
Look at that. Yeah. What a treat.
Bitcoin is up. I know a few of us in the room are happy.
Grant, especially.
I'm enthusiastic these days about it.
Baseball is rocking and rolling. That'll probably be the bulk of the pod is spring ball starting up and
you scared me. I was like, hold on.
and LSU baseball. No, I mean, like, listen, they deserve a lot to talk about the last time. And you, Brett, kudos to you. All right. This is the pat on the back of the show for you in baseball. Fidel. Yeah. Fidel Uola.
Uola.
It's
Uola.
Uola.
Uyoa.
It's really not that hard. I practiced it several times all week in anticipation for this. And for whatever reason, I thought of the mustache and I couldn't pronounce it. But
I can't tell you. I can't tell you how happy I was seeing Twitter blow up with like how awesome this guy is when I just threw him in there and you're like, we're not talking about this. Gave me a big
shot.
Every time he threw like a 96 mile an hour heater, I just smiled and thought of Brett.
Yeah, every time. It's like this, how much better can this guy keep getting? But no, he's kind of cemented himself as one of those middle relief guys that early in the season has been counted upon. A lot of guys have emerged. A couple of the freshmen that we talked about. Our last podcast was, LSU baseball preseason preview. And there was a lot of predictions, a lot of who's going to step up, what type of roles are we going to play here and there. This first chunk of the season, just before SEC play starts, obviously we've got Xavier to roll through this weekend. But after that, we face Mississippi State the following weekend, SEC starts. So we've got a lot of sample size here of who we are kind of leading into SEC play. And, man, this is a good team. This is a really good team with a ton of talent and a very deep pitching staff. So really excited. Texas sucks. I mean, University of Texas blows. They got waxed after us as well. Go ahead.
Can I tell you something I'm not the biggest fan of? And that's like everyone just like hammering like the horns down and stuff. Like obviously don't care that it's horns down, but there's this part of me, and look, I'm sure when you're on the team, it's fun to be talking a little shit, but it's like, you're the alpha. Like, everyone is coming at the king. Like, I don't love
it. They make it a thing. The more we talk about it, the more fuel it gives these people for reactions.
No, I know, but I'm talking about, like, LSU shouldn't be the team that's like throwing the horns down. That's for the little guy.
Well, like,
are the alphas.
I feel like Joe Burrow's game kind of when they blew the cannon through his jersey, it was fair game.
We started it for us then, but that shit's been going on for a long time.
That's
Oklahoma, that A&M.
Take Texas out of it then. If we're signing shit down to Southeastern and stuff, like that's almost how it feels. It's like Southeastern should be like the anti, like talking shit, getting rowdy in that LSU game of like, we're taking down the big dog. And it feels like LSU goes into the Texas game as like the underdog. It's like, we got to show it to them. It's like, no, guys, you are – you are the team that everyone's coming at. The target's on your back.
Yeah, no, I get that. They have to stop crying about it, though. They have to stop crying about it. Yeah, I mean,
fuck Texas.
If they keep crying about it, people are just going to just keep – it's just too easy. It's just – and we live in a generation where it's very handsy. I mean, you get on –
you got to take your mitten off to, you know, like second base.
There's a lot of hands in our generation, dude. Like, you get on Twitter, you get on TikTok, everything is fucking like, you know. I mean, there's just always something with hands. Anytime people are selling products, we're fucking – tapping phones, like it's a fucking problem. So you give them this, you give them the horns down, they're gonna do it. But yeah, I'm assuming we're referring to Bear Jones hitting an absolute bomb, and I think that's one of the guys that we talked about from the three from that major signing class: Paxton Kling, Bear Jones, and Brady Neal. You know, these guys have to step up. It's their season, right? Are they gonna turn the corner early on? So far, Bear Jones absolutely has started to answer that bell, and we knew he had power, but now he's hitting breaking balls and shit, man. Wednesday night against Southeastern, he had a sick play at first. I mean, put on a clinic fielding, and that's something that I've been
– He needs to improve there.
It does need to improve. I mean, we're also coming off one of, if not the most athletic first baseman we've ever had at the school with Trey Morgan. And so you immediately go.
I thought you were going to say Cade Beloso.
This big ass, you know, Bear Jones. You expect a little bit, man. You expect him to continue to progress, and I think he has. Paxton Kling, last night, you know,
Kling Kong.
We started. That's tough. Kong. That was tough.
It is brutal.
We started to get a little weary about him. You know, four strikeouts in a row, and then, you know, ninth, top of the ninth, two outs. I think he even had two strikes on him, and he ropes one down the left field line, and in just incredible fashion drives in the runs, gets a double out of it. He's flying in the outfield, literally. He's got to come up with that ball. And then Brady Neal is finding his groove behind the plate as well. So the guys that you were hoping could start to step up this season, you've seen those glimpses from all three of them in this beginning of the year. Run so far,
and there's definitely one that has gone above and beyond expectations, and we talked about him briefly, but that's Stephen Milam. I mean, he's obviously been, I would say, arguably our best player, most important player, especially offensively and defensively. He's pretty filthy out there defensively. You know, I mean, as a freshman, he's just making, like, we had Gavin Dugas as our second baseman last year.
Sometimes I want him at short. Sometimes I'm like, ooh, I think Milam should be our guy out there at short.
Braswell is not the fastest guy at shortstop. But it's all about angles. And you've seen times he has taken bad angles and he's slow. So I don't know what happened there a few times.
Can't have both.
But then when you least expect it, he's got a great at bat. And he's
going to be at least offensively as good as or better than Thompson from last year. I mean, he's already shown. Thompson, it is a drop off defensively from Thompson. Thompson was a pretty dang good, at least last year.
Thompson was stellar. You know, obviously he had his rough game in the College World Series, then he came back as kind of a hero the next day and really had a hell of a time. But you're right. I think Braswell certainly looks like a guy that, you know, he's in there. He's part of the lineup. But then there's times where the throws are off. He's kind of slow to get to the ball a little bit. Then you can tell that there's a noticeable difference at shortstop this season. But behind the plate, he's swinging the bat well. So you can't really justify moving him out. Milam is definitely a guy that we mentioned in our last podcast, talking about the two freshmen, Jake Brown and Stephen Milam, as the guys that were kind of making the most noise. And then you group that on the pitching mound, obviously, with Cade Anderson. Those were the true freshmen that have been making noise. Everyone was hyping Jake Brown as this, he's going to walk in and be the stud right out of the gate, which I think he's contributed every game in some form or fashion where he hasn't screwed up. Like, he's done really good for being a true freshman. Milam has just come in and completely taken over and said,
from both sides of the plate as a switch hitter.
Little monster Milam, man. Little Steven. He's a baller. And then Cade Anderson on the mound, just an absolute dealer as a true freshman, coming off of an injury, missed his whole senior season. So we're gradually, I think keeping him in that routine and the midweek starter is where he needs to be right now. But once we get deep into SEC play, look for him to be very involved in the weekends.
Yep.
Itching to kind of get into spring practice, but I know it's early.
It's like, wait, I got a couple more things real quick.
Couple more things.
No, I was going to say, obviously I'm not like super locked into every game and it's early and the competition is not what it's going to be in a month. Mm-hmm. But it feels like this is as strong of a pitching group I can remember or as anyone could really have. Like, this is, and guys get injured every year and it looks different 2 months from now, whatever. But at the moment, it looks like a squad that can just carry you in a lot of games and get you late into the season, that when you can just throw this many guys out there.
The really good sense of security that makes us feel that way, I think, is the emergence of Gage Jump. I think if you don't have Gage Jump, it's like, yeah, great. You pulled over a Friday starter in Holman. Like, that's amazing. But, you know,
who's the other guy?
You need another like stalwart out there. And I think Gage Jump has just really, really turned heads and made people realize, like, okay, you got a 1-2 punch that's really solid right here. And then you got Thatcher Hurd, who will find it. I mean,
you almost don't know who your guy is in like the best possible way of that. It's not like, fuck, we don't have any guys. It's like, no, we have so many. I don't really know who is that Friday, like every time getting the ball. Like, you could kind of make some arguments for a couple of those dudes right now.
I mean, go ahead.
I was just say, let's think about it this way. Last year, I would say you had about 7 trusted arms and you won a national championship. And those were Skeens, obviously, could have the ball. Ty Floyd could have the ball. Nate Ackenhausen could have the ball. Gavin Guidry could have the ball. Griffin Herring. As the season went on, Griffin Herring, I would have trusted him in a moment. Riley Cooper and Thatcher Hurd. Mm-hmm. Everyone else was like, I don't know if we can – I don't know in this situation if we want, you know, Christian Little or Javen Coleman even. Like, they did step up in certain times. But this year, I mean, there's at least a dozen guys –
yeah,
you know, that I would – Samuel Dutton, like, he's had 4 appearances. He's got a 0 ERA. Like, I don't care who he's pitching against.
Lohr is up and down, but, like, when he's on, he's okay. Great.
I'm not worried about him. Same thing with Ackenhausen, because they've been through those gauntlets.
Ackenhausen is our next best guy after Cade Anderson. But after the starting 3, I think Nasty Nate is your next – like, having him come out last night to just lock down the bottom of the 9th, They had no shot. Like, when Ackenhausen ran out there, it was just total dominance, 3 up, 3 down, game over, see you later.
Our team don't mess around.
No. And Jay really emphasized, like, yeah, I wanted to throw some good guys. Like, this is a really good Southeastern team. Like, they beat ECU. ECU, I've got ranked in the top 20. So, I mean, like, this is – no, dude, okay, here's the thing. I've gotten really serious about baseball. Like, I've been watching a lot of ball. And I'm not talking LSU baseball. I'm talking like across the board. And I'm my most frequent site that I'm on right now is D1 baseball, just monitoring scores, because I'm making my own tiers. I'm ranking my own like top 16, because I need to be informed when I make these bets eventually.
Absolutely.
Like, eventually I'm going to get back into baseball betting. I screwed up doing it like week 1, and it's just like, you don't know who these people are. Like, what are you doing?
Well, because the books don't know either. So there's some lines in there you can steal some money.
Yeah, but then you can also, it just wasn't. So I haven't done anything.
You know what I'm saying, as the season goes on, if you're paying attention,
yes,
they're not paying attention.
Right. And you can steal some money. I am. And I tell you what,
locked in.
I tell you what, LSU is playing really good right now in comparison to a lot of teams. They're ahead right now with where they are, but Southeastern's playing really good baseball too. So the fact that we got that win really helps us moving forward with our power rankings. But also it shows you why he really wanted to go for that W. Pinch running hitters and throwing Nate Ackenhausen. With that being said, I think we're at a really good spot defensively and offensively. I think the bats will always be there with the Jay Johnson team. I actually think they're ahead of the curve here. There's two things that really stand out with this team right now. One, the pitching, their strikeouts. Like, these guys are striking out batters. It's pretty consistent.
We're like top three in the country in
strikeouts. Wasn't it like 18 of the first 20 outs in the Southeastern game was a strikeout?
Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
Well, it was seven of the first seven, and then there was a fly out. I know that.
They had like 20 strikeouts, like three of the last four games or some shit. Crazy. Like, I don't know. Like, but they're dealing really well. But, like, you don't see a lot of players getting walked, man. Like, you don't see a lot of those free passes happening right now. And then second, offensively, the discipline at the plate is really far, like, progressed, in my opinion, for this early in the season. Like, usually I'm used to seeing our guys kind of grow into their roles and get out of slumps. And, like, right now, and it's because of, like, decisions on when, you know, when to hold off and, you know, pitch identification. These guys right now are so disciplined. I mean, you look at Bingham last night, to have the patience and the eyes to stay off of those pitches and get that walk, to get that, you know, to build up and set up what happened with Fry and then Kling thereafter. That's discipline at the plate. That's not being too aggressive. That's not being bigger than the moment. It's just being within it. That's really critical foundational pieces for a team. And I think Jay Johnson has found that with this team already so early in the year. I am so fucking happy Jay Johnson's our baseball coach. Like, it's one of those very comforting things. I love his interviews. I like his post game rah-rah shit and, you know, moment jumping of the game,
with the boys.
Whatever it is. It's a young coach, but he's wise beyond his years in appreciation for college baseball. And he's never leaving LSU. Like, this is like the Yankees job for him. Like, he is obsessed with his job, and that's what you want.
He's like the perfect mix of the old experienced, you know, coach that's not going to do much but just sit in the dugout and be stern, and then the opposite end of the spectrum of like the Vitalo or whatever the fuck his name. Like, he's that middle ground of like not a complete jack wagon of a young coach, like fiery guy, but also not like Skip Bertman. He's like that perfect middle ground of, I feel like, what you want.
Where you can get another. Like, I feel like he should easily get one more championship while he's...
No, I think we're in,
like,
we're going to look back. I think
when you get one early.
Yeah, you're going to look back on these years, though, I think, of just, like, some of the greatest years of LSU baseball with Jay Johnson. And, like, I think this season, it's part of that wave that we're going to be riding. So I think this is going to be a very good team, and I think it's because of Jay Johnson's momentum building off of a national championship, because he knows how important that is. But he's also, I also really love that kind of that West Coast vibe that he's got to him, where it's like, no, like, if y'all want to like do away with athletics out there on the West Coast, like, I'll bring that shit here. You know what I mean? Like, I'll take the best players from California.
Because baseball doesn't matter.
Right. Like, I'll take the kids from Arizona, because I know what this place can be, because I grew up watching and idolizing it from afar. Now I'm going to bring it to the forefront once again this generation. And he's starting to do that. Obviously, a national championship goes a long way. But immediately rebounding with a team like this, with a lot of potential, a lot of promise, and a lot of youth. Like, there's young guys out there that can't sniff the field that are dogs. Yeah. I mean, Kucherak's a baller. I think that dude's – Larson's a dog.
Him and Larson. So that's what I was going to get to is
– get it.
There's a position group that's just kind of a merry-go-round right now, and that's the outfielders. Mm-hmm. Because I think there's no alternative to Braswell. Steven Milam's your second baseman. Pearson isn't hitting good enough even to have his job in the outfield. And he is that off and on guy. He's always been that guy.
Pearson, if anybody from that whole crew is the one that's like, you're the first one we're kind of looking at to move to the bench and put in. Right. A Fry or a Jake Brown Milam at second, you know.
Fry is going to have to really take care of his chances, because he's going to get more opportunities in the outfield because he can hit. So he's going to have to do that. Ashton Larson, I think he's the one that's been playing first, or has he been in the outfield?
First.
Larson's been the first baseman. Yeah,
Larson, he can probably play both. He can play both. I think I've seen him play both as well.
Those two guys, him and Kucherak, I'm like – who are these guys? They're balling out like crazy.
We have a question in the chat. Do y'all think Wilson Alexander is a lib?
What does that mean?
Libertarian.
Yeah, that's kind of what I took it as too.
Interesting.
This is a you know, State of the Union might be happening. This is not a political podcast.
That's why so many viewers right now, because no one gives a shit about our government.
Everybody's bailing out on Joseph. I think Milam, though, going back to Little Monster, dude, I think that guy is going to be a phenom for us eventually. Like, he's just going to keep piling on.
I mean, he's Altuve. Like, he's so not cocky, but I feel like if I were to pitch him, I'm like terrified. I'm like, he's going to walk or he's going to get a hit.
Yeah, he's so paddle. Low.
He's so low. Then he's going to get on first, and he's going to steal. He is like, did you ever play backyard baseball?
Yeah, dude. He's Pablo Sanchez. Yard.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, he's
talking about the video game.
Have you ever been outside?
You ever touched grass?
You ever hit a ball outside? No, Pablo Sanchez from the computer video game, which
I don't think you can say that.
Wait, one of the Kelsey brothers, Jason, said he wants to buy that old franchise,
retire,
which is kind of cool.
Retired.
Anyway, but that's who Milam reminds me of, is Pablo Sanchez. Just
got it.
Tough.
Tommy White needs to step it up a little bit. I'll fucking say it. I'll say it. I know no one wants to talk about it. Everybody's like, oh, he's hitting 320. Like, yeah, but like, he should be hitting way better than that. Like, that dude is trying so hard to swing for the fence every time. It's like, Tommy, relax. Just put it out there, dude. Get a run. Just get an RBI. Like, pop it out there. Stop hitting into fucking double plays.
He's way out in front. So he's so anxious. His timing's a little bit off. He's way out in front, hitting up everything, you know, into the shortstop. But then when you notice, when he gets two strikes, he sits back. He almost takes a pitcher's head. He rips tits up the middle.
Yeah. Right?
Or like, he needs to get back to,
but he's missing,
sitting back and hitting home runs to the right side of the field.
Yeah.
And it's going to happen. Last year, he didn't hit a home run until game number 10.
That's what I'm saying. What I was saying. Like, with all that being said, he is the last guy that I would move out of the lineup. Like, this dude is never leaving. Well, he's the best.
You don't have a third baseman. So,
No, Milam could do it.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Nipple.
No,
Milam could do it.
I'm out on Nipples.
Nipple.
Anyway,
dude, the announcers like go real hard in on the Ipple.
Yeah, the ones that don't know how to pronounce it for sure. Yeah. I love Mac Bingham's game. He's just like this quiet, like steady Eddie out there, makes good plays.
I'm expecting more out of him too. I mean, he's only batting 300 right now.
But
I think he'll get better.
Is
like, he needs to be in the lineup.
Only batting 300.
Yeah, he is, because I think he's had a couple, like, 1-for-4 games that have dropped him. But
okay, well, you might see some rotation there then, because he's kind of been
not locked in.
Yeah, but he has been up to this point. Like, Pearson's been the one. Pearson and Jake Brown have been the one kind of moving around, and Kling. Bingham hasn't really moved.
Bingham hasn't started 2 games out of 12. So he started 10. So it's Bingham, Brown, Kling, and Pearson. I mean, three of those four are going to be your everyday starters.
And then out there, you got Fry behind him.
Yep, Fry, and then potentially Rudell and Larson, whatever. Milazzo, fuck. Too bad he can't, like, Milazzo, do something else. He's batting, you know.
Yeah, he does.
But he hits pretty well.
I think we've got a lot to look forward to with this baseball team. I'm excited to see what we can do against Xavier this weekend. And then we've got – I really hate how the schedule looks before we play Mississippi State. You get through Xavier, and then you got 2 games in a row against North Dakota State. I think it's even – is it a Monday, Tuesday, or Tuesday, Wednesday? Oh, Tuesday, Wednesday.
Next week?
Yeah.
Yeah, North Dakota State is Tuesday, Wednesday, 6 o'clock, and then there's a 1 o'clock on Wednesday.
It's dumb. So
midday. Jay Johnson.
Jay's checking the weather too much.
Exactly. He wants to protect arms.
West Coast guy. I'm going to go through a handful of teams that I've been looking at. All right. I'm gonna talk about Oregon State is a team that I feel like they're playing really good ball right now. LSU, obviously, Wake Forest, TCU is a team that's been making some noise. I believe they're still undefeated. Arkansas, I think everyone has them at like number two. I think they're definitely a top five, six team. But their bats are not as hot as I would like them to be. I wouldn't like them to be hot. Let me take that back. But if it comes to, you know, ranking them up there in the top two, you're going to have to.
Who'd you just say?
Arkansas.
Arkansas, yes. Yeah, because they got a freaking ace up there.
Crazy pitching staff. And then same with Tennessee. Arkansas and Tennessee, I have right there at, what is that, 5 and 6. Florida dropped the game last night to – who did they drop it to? Central Florida? I think it was UCF. A&M's playing good baseball. The other team that I really like right now is Virginia. Virginia is putting up some freaking points. I think they put up like they put up like 26 points last night against somebody. So
runs, points?
Yeah, runs. Yeah, so I'm saying 26. You would think, you know, you would think I'm talking about basketball here with the points, but no, we're talking about runs. Anyway, followed by Duke, Vanderbilt, Clemson, North Carolina, Texas Tech, and Coastal Carolina. North Carolina's got like six teams in the top 20. It's crazy.
Yeah, how it goes.
But anyway, I think that'll do it. We will probably meet back again after SEC play in
Suits.
No. It's football time, dude.
Hold on. Yeah.
I think all million of these people are in here to talk some football, too.
Yeah. Everyone in the live chat, do the thumbs up bullshit that everyone cries about asking for. That's the only time we're going to do it. Follow Mike on Twitter. He's dropping bangers.
It's all the Facebook viewers we have right now.
Well, I guess that's what people are here for. They want us to break down the Corey Raymond segment that we promised on Twitter.
So, yeah, I mean, obviously we can start there. It seems, I don't know if you've seen this, like in the last like hour or two, Twitter has kind of taken a buzz to like, is the Brian Kelly overrated or like who's more overrated?
Really?
Lincoln Riley, Brian Kelly. It's popping up. And so it kind of wanted to bring me back to what was posted in the group me like 3 days ago where The Athletic and Pete Thamel and everyone's coming out with their top 25 coaches going into the season. Mike was completely right. It takes you aback not seeing Nick Saban on that list. But what the fuck are we doing having like Lance Leipold and fucking Kalen DeBoer like 3 and 4 in all these lists? Like we have completely fucking lost our minds where we're just going to be like, oh, well, fuck, he was 8 and 4 at Kansas. This is the third best coach in college football. Oh, well, fuck, he was the OC at Indiana and had a ninth-year quarterback take him to a title run. Fuck, let's put DeBoer at number 4.
No one's getting the NCAA game and being like, I'm doing DeBoer and Lance Leipold's fucking career path dynasty mode. Like, that's not happening because they're not that great. Like, they don't deserve to be in the top fucking 5. That's not what that is. Dude, you can make your arguments for fucking Dabo. Like, he's got the hardware. Like, don't start talking to me about guys that just made the playoffs. Like, and all of a sudden, like, oh, because you got the Bama gig to follow Nick Saban? All of a sudden, you're a top 4 coach in college football? It makes the casual viewer think that the college game is illegitimate because they just kind of view it as like, oh, what? Who's the flavor of the month? And we're going to put them as an all-time great? Like, get the fuck out of here.
It's insane. Like, this is just going to be such a, like, an old takes exposed type of thing. I think both of these guys are good coaches. I don't give a fuck where Brian Kelly's on the list. He's, like, 6 on most of these lists. Like, sure, I think it's fair to say that Brian Kelly should be ranked higher than the dude who's been decent at Kansas. But I don't care. Like, that's not the point. James Franklin hanging out at 7, just perfect spot.
Casual.
And a disgrace to Lane. I think Lane's like 22 on a lot of these lists.
Is he?
If you want to tell me it's like, hey, man, we got Lane at 5. We have Norvell here. It's like, okay, I'll take it. I'll listen to it. But I don't know, man. I've said it like on 17 different podcasts, but it's just – it blows my mind that every media member talked about how it's just not going to work at LSU for Brian Kelly because of the culture fit, the assistant coaching tree. And DeBoer rolls into a pretty average. Like, it's just not really, I don't know. If I think taking the Alabama job's a pretty shit job. Obviously a good job in general, but to just like automatically just throw this up there is insane. Fucking Josh Pate's like, he's got one of the best staffs in football. I'm just like, what are we doing?
Josh Pate is dating. I know, like, I'll think I'm joking. That's a real thing.
Yeah, I know.
Josh Pate is really dating the beat writer at Alabama. And this is Josh Pate. I don't know her name. It'd be like somebody dating Leah Van or some shit last year. It's like that's what's going on with Josh Pate. Love the guy to death, man. He's a great guy. But like, you can tell the minute he posted that picture of him and her on the sideline and he was getting chummy, it was like Bama was in his mouth multiple times a week. And I think he's got to suck up to DeBoer a little bit because he wants to get in there. He wants to get into those press conferences. He wants to be part of that beat to kind of get the firsthand takes and discussions with the heir to the throne. Now, what I will address the elephant in the room here, who wrote that and who gives a fuck other than us? Cause it's content, but like who wrote that?
I mean, I don't know.
The athletic says Bruce Feldman.
Yeah. It was somebody big. Like it was somebody, but like, and that's
what if he would have put me. What if he would have put Ed at like 25?
Well, it's like, dude, it's like the first week of March. What is Bruce Feldman? Like, what is he just hanging out and he drinks his cup of coffee in the morning one day and thinks to himself, I'm going to rank him. I'm going to rank him. And I'm gonna mess with some people's fucking heads because I'm putting Lance Leopold and Kalen DeBoer in the top five. And he gets on and he fucking goes to WordPress and does his thing.
And I agree. I think the giant problem is that it's a game for clicks. It's like Dan Orlovsky going on ESPN and being like, the eighth best quarterback is actually the best quarterback. Like, if you do something crazy, it's going to get clicks. People are going to quote tweet it. If you just kind of say what you feel, the status quo, like, hey, man, Brian Kelly's fourth, Norvell's fifth, whatever you want to do, everyone just moves on. If you're like, yeah, I think Jaden Daniels is going to be a fine quarterback, no one's going to care. No one's going to write an article about like this crazy take. But if you say Jaden Daniels is never going to take a snap or like Caleb Williams is the worst quarterback in the last 30 years of the draft, then everyone gets to talk about it.
Or Drake May is a project and he's not even the top 10 quarterback. I think I saw that one this morning.
That was Sims. And Sims is a habitual offender of this, of like, let me just take the most outlandish topic because if I say the like probably correct thing, no one's going to care or write an article.
But what about JJ McCarthy being?
He came out of nowhere. Have you seen his fastball on the gym mat wall?
Look out.
Like, what? No,
who was that guy that said that? Like, that was the craziest thing I've ever heard in my life. Compliments to LSU.
Jaden Daniels is. Like no one, like everyone is all aboard now. Like you won't find anyone like shitting on Jaden Daniels now. Like the argument now is Caleb or Jaden. It's not Jaden or Penix or Bonet. Like it's one.
Well, if this were 10 years ago, I could see being like, yeah, you know, Daniels isn't the biggest. I don't know if he's going to hold up. Like in this age of the NFL, this dude is like perfect for the NFL. Like obviously you got to go to the right team, right system, whatever. But I think it's way dumber to say that now that like, I don't think Jaden Daniels has got it.
Yeah. I think Caleb Williams has to really lean into this. Like I'm a fucking bad boy thing. Like this rebel thing. Like
it's either going to play out so poorly or like so great.
I mean, like his pro day, he needs to show up as like a drag queen or something. And just like, I know he's painted his nails before. I know he's kind of been like edgy, but like he needs to really step it up.
Does the vertical and heels.
Yeah. Just be like, if y'all want to be, you know, if y'all want the best quarterback of all time, you know, I want equity. And you're going to accept this shit that comes with me. I don't know, Caleb Williams is a really good quarterback. I think he gets a lot of he had a bad year. I mean, like he just did not have the season he had like he did the year before. Jaden Daniels had a better season. I don't think that this dude is a fucking Patrick Mahomes like some people are saying.
Yeah, but no one thought Patrick Mahomes was Patrick Mahomes either. Everyone lost their mind when he got taken 16. Like, oh, you wasted a draft pick? You just got to the NFC Championship game? And you picked
But they're expecting this now from Caleb, though.
Yeah, for sure. I don't know. I've mostly given up trying to figure out who's going to be a good quarterback and not, because it's like it feels like so many times guys that I'm just like, this dude's going to be awesome. He just like doesn't pan out. And I really think it just matters where you go.
How about Brian Thomas? Crushed.
That was impressive.
That was so fun to watch.
A total side note. I don't know if this is done all the time or if this was just like a Robert Griffin one-off, but some like big lineman ran like a 5-something and he tweeted out like adjusted for if he was 190 pounds, he would have ran a 4.2. That was one of the funniest things I've ever seen. If we're going to like start mathing out 40 times, I was rolling.
Yeah. Who defined that conversion?
That's like,
how do we know that?
It killed me. That was like the funniest thing I had seen all week was him being like adjusted for inflation. He actually ran a 4.28.
So the only variable is weight. So it's weird because it's obviously not true because we've seen it. I don't know.
But I was not expecting Brian Thomas to run that fast for sure. Yeah. I thought, and you know, obviously he's a great athlete, but you always just kind of in my head picture him as like this bigger wide receiver that's like not as fast, but more like fluid. And obviously it's wrong, but that's just kind of like the mental image in your head of Neighbors being the guy like scatting around, getting quick. And Brian Thomas is just like the really good receiver, but no, he's fast as shit too.
Yeah, and I think that's why we tried to force a lot of screens to him. Because like we knew like if he busts through this line, like no one's catching him. He can move. So
he's a burner.
Excited to see the new crew of receivers, man. You know, we got our first glimpse of a chopped up, like epilepsy-induced fucking video, where we got to see some clips of Kyron Lacy, who I think is gonna have a hell of a year. I think he's going to step up this season and be a dude that we've been hoping he can be. I'd like to see two hands on that ball. If I'm just being honest here,
Lacy is going to be sick. Mark it down, timestamp it 38 minutes and 10 seconds. He's going to fuck us at some point. Like there will be something that happens that totally bones us, but he's going to be nasty. Like
he's going to be nasty.
This dude is going to be legit.
We saw a lot of Aaron Anderson in the little mini clips that we've seen.
You're not going to fool me twice. I'm speaking nothing of Anderson the entire preseason. I don't care how many times Shea Dixon tweets out that Brian Kelly says that Anderson's the most fluid slot receiver that he's ever seen in 50 years. I'm saying nothing. No words.
Well,
I want it. I want it more than anything, but I'm not wishing it into fruition this year.
I get it. And I think that the coaching staff feels the same way. And that's why they brought in old boy from Mississippi State.
And Liberty.
And CJ Daniels from Liberty was brought in case Chris Hilton doesn't, you know, step up there. So I think you've got Chris Hilton and Aaron Anderson who you want to be the guys, but then you bring in the two transfers as, hey, these guys are plug and play if y'all don't step up.
Yeah.
Or, you know, we're even keel and we've got a nice rotation going. Either way, I think, and help me out with the name here. Is it Zion? Is it Zion Tomlinson or Thompson? Look, who's the Mississippi State guy? I haven't heard his name enough to have it ingrained in my head yet. But that kid, CJ Daniels, Chris Hilton, Aaron Anderson, and Kyron Lacy.
Xavion Thomas.
Okay. Xavion Thomas.
Xavion.
Yeah. I said Zion.
It's pronounced Xavion.
I get it. If I have to hear any name, I have to hear it. If you're not a player, if you're not a starter and you're on the bench, I need to hear it said to me a minimum of like 6 times before I can just fucking pull it.
It's Xavion Thomas.
Right. I can read it. I don't need you to do it 6 times today.
CJ Daniels.
I knew that.
Jaden's.
I knew that. That's okay. Shorter. It's quicker. And I think of Jaden when I think of Liberty now.
It's his second cousin.
Twice yeah. removed. Anyway, the receivers obviously are going to be ahead of the DBs going into the spring. The DBs were not coached at all for a couple seasons.
Let's run that one back. But it's early. The first week, wide receivers are always ahead.
Yeah, but we saw the grandfather out there. We saw Godfather Corey Raymond with a new look. He's wearing the glasses this time. We're not talking shades. We're talking indoor spectacles. He's got the Warby Parkers rocking hot, and he is, there's a maturity in his demeanor that I feel like we haven't seen from Corey Raymond. And I'm excited to see this. It's like, I'm here. I'm not going anywhere ever again. I'm happy to be back. Let me put on a pair of glasses.
Can you mute the video?
I'm done.
I thought there was something going on outside my house. I was looking
at it. I did mute it. Yeah.
It's exciting to see Corey Raymond out there. What's more exciting is seeing Blake Baker involved with everybody, being over there with the safeties at times, really getting into with the linebackers and really getting detailed on drills. I know, listen, and this is probably complete horse shit. This is absolute bullshit what I'm about to say. So just forget it. Scrap it. Forget it.
Say it anyway.
I don't know if I remember seeing this type of like detailed warm-up drills the past couple seasons from the defense. Like, I feel like the attention to detail in a 15-second clip is more than I've seen from fucking Bozo the Clown Squad the past two seasons on defense. I don't know. Maybe it's just me. Maybe it's hopefulness.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
watching
all the clips today, I was just like, we're going to be sick. And then you start thinking about the defense and, you know, everyone's kind of up in arms about Harold Perkins at linebacker again, which like I want him with Blake Baker. I want him.
Let him figure it out.
Do the Damon Clark. Like, hey, this dude, we don't know. All of a sudden he's a stud. Take the stud and do that again. I think our offense is going to be good enough to hide it, but I think this defense is going to play above their maybe potential this year. Like, it seems like guys like Raymond, I mean, dude, I couldn't love a picture more than the Bo Davis, Brad Davis combo pick that got posted out. Like, that's just the best picture of spring practice so far.
Well, you put them at a table, dude. You put Bo Davis, Brad Davis, Corey Raymond, Frank Wilson at a table. And I don't want to just, you know, exclude all the other coaches, but like those Godfather type guys that have been in the arena for that long. And they're just like, all right, let's put all our chips in at LSU and let's see what we can make here. I think it's awesome. I think it's excellent to see. And I think we're only going to go up from here. It's almost as if they're like seeing Corey Raymond with the glasses again. It's like, he's coaching for Brian Kelly now. It's time to be mature. It's time to we're not paying for contacts anymore. We're going glasses because my wisdom needs to radiate onto J.K. Johnson. I need Jair Brown to step up and be a transfer that can be a plug and play. I need Jordan Gilbert to come in and be a stud safety. I need to develop Toviano and Ashton Stamps. And that's what you're seeing right out of the gate. There's the picture.
Look how happy he is.
They're at the 4-5-9. They're eating it up. They're in the slop.
I know they're in the indoor. There's nothing I like more than seeing a big old line coach wearing a giant sweatshirt and when it's hot as fuck. It's like, we don't care about the elements. Like, in the hat, elite hat.
Look in the lips. I mean, look at these
great beard.
Those are some stubby fingers.
Look at his kneecap.
Yeah, that's not a kneecap. That's an extra quad.
You know, I was thinking when I saw this picture, it's like, what was just said that was so funny? This had to be a joke about Bo Davis's contract and how hard it was to get him to come here. And like, now he's fat and happy. And like, I don't know. I feel like Brad gave him some shit about his contract right
now. And then the player in the background.
Second cousins too, right?
Player in the background just has like the biggest arm possible.
Is that Daniil Hunter? Who is that?
Yeah.
I don't know who it is, and I don't think many people know who's on that defensive line right now. So the D-line is certainly not an area that we're going to try to speculate about or break down after our first 30-second clip of day one of practice. We'll save that for probably a month from now, sometime in April. But what we will do is talk about the kneecaps and quads of the new coach because, you know, I think we're in a great spot with him. I didn't see much Peoples coverage.
What do you mean?
There was a lot of people.
Kevin Peoples.
Yeah, okay. I thought you were talking Steeples for a second. I was like, well, he's gone. No.
Nuss looks crisp.
I'm trying.
Look at that.
So I'm trying
to touch the ball, dude.
I'm trying so hard not to just be like full on. Nuss is going to be like the best gunslinger in the
Nuss nut. You're going to have a little Nuss nut,
dude. I'm Nuss nut about it. The guy's like, what is he? Top three in the Heisman odds right now.
It feels good to just have to have the LSU quarterback auto in the Heisman.
He's going to have like a 32-6 season.
Paul, dude, if we're only getting 6 interceptions out of him, like we're gonna be in business.
Yeah, either we neutered him or we won the national championship,
or we have a running
down everywhere.
Yeah.
Or Trey Holly's back.
I think Trey Holly's listed on the roster.
I know, I saw that.
I mean, hell, somebody said we didn't even actually know. I think Denver Harris was on the roster, even though he was incarcerated.
No, but he was. No. He was removed from the roster. Holly was not. He was removed from the roster. He was reinstated to the roster. Someone, I don't know that for a fact. Someone claimed.
I don't think Denver though was ever removed from the roster. He was not in the pictures. He was never removed from the roster, right?
Well, that was because he was a minute and a half late to the team dinner, though.
That's mm-hmm. what they say. That's what Jordy says.
Yeah, that is the term. Listen to the Brian Kelly press conference. One of the only real takeaways, he talked about Samson needing to get a little bit more physical off the ball, but kind of the big takeaway was saying that this is by far the most player-led team that had at LSU. And I mean, that's something that he talked about in the first press conference he had at LSU's coach. It's something that we've kind of talked about throughout his term at LSU so far. And the culture that he built and the guys that came before, it seems like it's working. Like, this is kind of where we talked about year one after, and maybe, you know, probably even before last year, of the team running the show. And Brian Kelly mentioned that today in his press conference. So that gave me some good feels.
You know what else I'd really love to see is the way Caleb Jackson looks right now. That dude looks like a freak. I mean, he always has. But he's the type of kid that I feel like is just like a weight room warrior that every year it's like, oh, there's a new muscle. This dude's just going to get bigger, more shredded, and looks like a Saquon Barkley by the time he's out of here. He looks good.
Yeah, but he's got to, you know, going to have to sit behind Josh Williams for another year.
What about
I'm not kidding.
Yeah, that's happening.
What about Mason Taylor? I'm looking at this freak of the week that he got. He looks like a grown-ass man.
Mason's going to benefit from Nussmeier. I think he's going to be good there. Mac Markway is getting some play, but tight end's going to be fine.
We have so many guys at tight end that should be getting some run.
Yeah, I feel like when Taylor had his run as a freshman, it's like we had nobody else. What is sneezing? There's no one else here.
That's my dog. That's my dog.
I was like, it sounds like a human sneeze.
Yeah, no, we're getting rowdy on the floor behind me.
I think when he first had to play as a freshman, there was really no other competition. I think Cole Taylor. But then you fast forward, it's like Mason Taylor's great, dude, but like there's a lot of players in that room now that they're going to be rotating around, and somebody's going to have to fucking step it up and really take it. Junior 3318 is trying to get in our heads. Don't let it happen.
You know what that means? That means Grant's been shilling to his
boys. He's been shilling.
I know exactly. He's been texting like, guys, okay. I know a guy who's been talking about this for years. And since we're at the all-time high, I think now is the perfect time.
50 minutes into the pod. Bitcoin bros, let's go ahead. Let's steer away from that spring practice and talk about making some money. Gerald has a
buy, juice dealer. Buy.
Gerald has a little tidbit in there for us. They had major burns with the linebackers.
I could see it. Major burns. Celebration.
Stick on a clipboard. Okay, I was about to say fearless. Come on, man.
I can see Burns transitioning to backer.
I'm assuming that would be I would assume that would be kind of in that like hybrid role of like the third safety, maybe, you know, kind of maybe where we had Greg Brooks at the beginning of the season last year. That's what I would take away from that. Maybe I'm crazy. Maybe he's just going to bulk up and be outside linebacker with a neck roll.
Harry Coleman. Whatever.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Did y'all see Caden Durham running track? Yes. This dude can fly. He can move. Caden Durham's going to play as a freshman at LSU at running back. He absolutely will, especially if Trey Holly is in prison. Like, if Trey Holly's on trial and, like, can't play, Caden Durham is going to be that dude a lot sooner. Free Trey. Make no mistake. He's innocent. I know,
Just calling back home, Mom, all I need to get some reps this year is for some the guy ahead of me to be incarcerated. That's it.
Anyway, I'm not going to go down that path, but I think Trey's going to be fine and he's going to be back with us. I think it's a misunderstanding. If it's not, you're going to see a lot of Caden Durham a lot earlier than expected. He doesn't win this. You know who wins it is actually the dude pulling away. So Caden Durham came in second. The winner is our actual wide receiver commit for next season. Yeah. So, or did we just sign him? Is it Ja'Cory Washington? Jelani Watkins. Yeah, but Watkins is an LSU guy. So like we're just fucking killing the track in Texas right now. I don't know, man. What else has been going on?
So fast, Mike Tyson.
Yeah, man, what are we doing here? It's like I didn't know he could even walk right now. I mean, you would think this is like, I don't know, Caitlin Clark or Angel Reese challenging Michael Jordan. It got more laughs before we recorded.
It did. I don't know. There's gotta be something else. What else happened?
Clemmer.
Yeah.
NC Clemmer.
Hold on.
They have enough coverage.
Is there any golf talk?
Yeah, Full Swing. Checked out Full Swing.
I haven't got to dive in yet.
Look at Lee. Brett's dog knocks on the door to come back in 3, 2, 1. Lee Lede.
Always. Literally always. God, you got nothing. I think, and look, I hope Lee enjoys this. I haven't seen, spoken to this dude in, what, a decade? I think about Lee at least once a week. At least once a week.
Wow.
It's just such good memories from that, like, day and a half we spent together.
No, Lee's a great, great guy. I need to make it back to the duck camp. I haven't been in 2 seasons. They probably think I hate the place. I need to get back. I love it. Mike, that beard's looking nice. I appreciate that, JR. My dog. JR, I'm not even going to flip it around and give the right pronunciation. But he's always got a nice scalp going, a nice head of hair, dude. He's got a good head of hair.
So I chatted with that.
He's
guy.
Always got a good beard, but he's got a good head of hair too. He's
got a healthy beard that's the color of Texas orange,
Houston orange.
No, well,
like, yeah, Astro orange.
What are we doing?
We're going way too inside here. Yeah, I feel like people are just like popping in left and right all of a sudden. We're already an hour in. We have to like figure this out here.
Yeah, we can't leave with 60 people in the live chat just hanging out. Pop some questions. Get some action in here, boys. Grant's got a hard out in 5 minutes, but we don't.
So wait, you haven't watched Full Swing. You didn't get to the Netflix because it wasn't your Netflix. You got locked out.
Yeah, finally, like, I watch majority things on my phone, and it was just like, you don't live at this home, but my TV downstairs still works. So I've watched like 10 minutes of Full Swing so far. I need to get back in it.
My biggest issue is logging into the ESPN app to try to watch these fucking baseball games. So like,
does it log you out like every week?
Yes,
it's insane.
My phone though stays loyal. Like, we're good on the phone. I'm on the
Roku's that it's logging
in. Is it ESPN
no.
Plus or is it
ESPN Plus?
Because if it's ESPN Plus, what you really should do is probably use Hulu, like watch it.
Charges.
That's how I watch like all the golf streams and stuff. Instead of going to shit ESPN app, I just watch it through Hulu.
Well, too bad. And I'm worried like I'm going to forget my password. Like it's bundled with like Verizon. I don't know. Like there's so much happening, and like I'll get it in on my main TV. And then for whatever reason, like that TV won't have the ESPN app anymore because I got a new TV. It's like, oh, I got to go upstairs and do it, but I can't log in. And I'm freaking out because I'm missing us play fucking VMI, you know, like that's where we're at.
One problem that I really wish ESPN app would fix is being able to select like your favorite sport team. Like why can't I pick like LSU baseball? And so
have any sort of customized feed. Yeah.
Any type of, yeah. Or like golf, is always at the top actually with ESPN Plus, which is fine.
Cause ESPN wants your ass in the seat. They want you
stationary. But I don't need to see all the other BS that they have, like highlights and 30 for 30s. Like I will search for that. I don't want to search for my team.
Do people watch that?
ESPN is Coinbase, Grant.
Ooh. It's true.
Yeah, it's the big, true. Big guys who are completely incompetent.
Eventually, they'll get to strike level.
Yep.
I get it.
And ledger wallets.
No, I don't promote Ledger.
You got me on Ledger.
I know. I have one. I don't like it. I don't like them. Fuck them. They have sold my data so many times. You would be blown away with the amount of scam emails and texts and shit I get because of those fucks.
Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised. I still get Coinbase knocking on my door every morning in Gmail. Your Coinbase account looks lonely. Like that's my first email every morning.
But we do also need you to take a picture of your license again. Those fuckers.
Yeah. I got an email from them today, and I was like, one of your recent deposits didn't fully go through. If you don't deposit this within the next 24 hours, it was my fault. But it was pretty alarming.
So going back to the point at hand, because it totally went over everybody's heads. Is Jake Paul just going to beat the shit out of Mike Tyson? And we're just going to have to sit back and be like, this is a great show. Thanks, Netflix.
As soon as I saw it, I immediately was like, okay, I'm not going to pay the $20 or whatever it's going to be to watch this. And then I found out it was going to be on Netflix, which is like kind of cool. But now the entire world is just going to fucking tune in hopes to see we see like a 20-year-old Mike Tyson just absolutely fucking destroy a YouTuber. And Jake Paul is probably just going to like bully this old man, or I don't know. It's hard to ever bet against Iron Mike. But it's just going to be so demoralizing.
When's the last time you bet on him, though?
Oh, yeah. I mean, there was a plan until you had to actually have a bookie the last time Mike Tyson fought.
That's what I'm saying. It's hard not to bet. I mean, he hasn't been around.
But, like, God, how nice would it be?
Everybody's like, Tyson's going to throw the fight and make millions.
Maybe. But I don't know.
They used to eat, like, pigeons on the roof, right, or some shit?
I'm dreading it because it's like there's just like one way it feels like this plays out, and it's fucking Jake Paul like getting carried by like seven other YouTubers that are multimillionaires you've never heard of before, and just like drinking Prime energy water. Like, shoot me.
I'll say this. He had a decent documentary about himself, a bio doc or whatever it's called.
Right, 3-2
biopic, biopic. One.
Yeah. Like a biopic. Yeah. I thought you said you had to leave in an hour.
It's 9 o'clock.
Oh, at 9 o'clock. No, we haven't been recording. No, you got 30 seconds.
Oh, okay. 30 seconds. We'll do that. That's cool.
Grant's going to get in trouble. I don't know. I feel like there's more stuff out there, but I've run out of gas.
Yeah, we're out of gas. We recorded for an hour. Everybody that jumped in late and gave up on Joe Biden's announcement and all that bullshit, go back and watch the show. Go back. We got a lot of good meat in there. LSU baseball's doing well. Spring practice just started. Corey Raymond's wearing glasses. We Angel love y'all.
Reese.
Angel Reese is still working that ass. Anyway.
All right, guys, I gotta go. Y'all can hang on.
I think we'll just close it out.
We'll close it out.
All right. Thanks for joining the live chat. Be back next week.
Love meets.
Love meets.
Yeah, better be back. Be back.